In our sermon time here in the book of Genesis in chapter 11, I kind of have bad news and some good news. The bad news, I guess, would be that somehow my titles keep getting a little bit longer. Maybe the good news is maybe the sermons are getting shorter. We'll see about that. But the title of the sermon, as I only put part of it up today, is The Politics of Pentecost. The Politics of Pentecost, and I have a subtitle, which is The City-Building Schemes of God and Man. Genesis 4, we'll pick up the reading in verse 4, and we'll read through verse 8 as we look at the politics of Pentecost. And they said, "Come, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people are one, they have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be withheld from them which they have imagined to do. So come, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of all the earth, and they ceased, or left off, they stopped building the city. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this passage and the several other passages we will look at. Father, we thank you that we don't serve a deist God who somehow is separate and removed, who kind of wound up this world like a clock and left it to wind down and to wind out. But you intervene here. You intervene tremendously in sending your Son. You intervened at Pentecost, and you're intervening in our lives today. We thank you for the city that you are building, and we ask that you would help us to be willing participants. In Jesus' name, amen. The politics of Pentecost. Some things are simply inescapable. Everything else being equal, to be a faithful Christian, one must automatically talk politics. Why would I say such a thing? I would because politics is from the Greek word polis, which means and is translated in the New Testament as city. The Bible is the story of mankind's journey from the garden to the city, to the polis. From the garden to the polis. Politics is inescapable. And Pentecost is a major step along that path, along that journey from the garden to the city. I think that you all know that the story began in the garden. I don't feel like I need to rehearse that. The Garden of Eden, we know that story. But just so that you also know for sure that it indeed does end in the city, in Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2, we talked about this. This was one of our readings some weeks ago, that this new heaven, this new earth is going to descend here. And it's a city. John saw the holy city, this new Jerusalem, come down from God. The work of God on earth begins in a garden and it ends in this city. We'll look at that verse a little bit more a little bit later on. But I want us to know for now that that is the trajectory, that is the plan, that is the future, and that's the end point. The city. But even while all of that is true, that didn't stop man from trying to hijack God's plan. The most famous story of man's attempt to hijack what God was doing in the world and God's plan, it occurred long ago, way, way back in Genesis, and it is the subject and it is the passage of our sermon text today from Genesis chapter 11. Now, our attention in that story somehow often focuses on the tower. And the tower is there. But this is much about the whole city that was being built there. Three times in this short little section here in verse 4, we read about the city. Come, let us build us a city and a tower. I'm not saying the tower is an afterthought. All I am saying is that we forget that there's any kind of city. We just think of a tower. Let us build a city, it says in verse 4. In verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city. The tower was there. Not saying it's an afterthought, but the tower wasn't the be-all and the end-all. It was the city. In verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of all the earth, and they left off, or they ceased building. Doesn't even mention the tower here. It says they stopped building the city. This Old Testament passage marks mankind's marred efforts at city building. And so we might say this is the first example in the Bible, or the major example in the Old Testament, the most famous example in the Old Testament, of really messed up politics. A city kind of gone amok. And this sort of politics remains messed up. This was so messed up that God had to shut it down. But note, it was never outside of God's purview. God is like, you know, a global city code enforcement agent or official. And what he says goes, literally, it goes. It goes away if he doesn't like it. There perhaps were many people protesting God's opposition to this plan and this city. There were probably many who were heavily invested in it. Many were no doubt protesting what he was doing by putting a stop to this. Maybe they were carrying signs that say things like, you know, keep your Bible off my bricks. They were building those bricks, building that tower, building that city. Maybe others had signs that say, my bricks, my choice, my life. And again, remember that there also were likely those who were heavily invested in this project that God put an end to. Some of them probably lost a fortune. Perhaps they lost their life savings. Politics, though, this city building is inescapable. It is God's plan, and he is going to do it. And ours is a ministry of proclamation about city building. And it's about politics. To fail to talk about politics, to fail to talk about the city, is really to be disengaged from the gospel. The good news for all of mankind. And Jesus Christ is the glue, the new glue that's holding that foundation, holding those bricks together, holding that part together, holding that new city together. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the glue that holds everything together. In Colossians 1 and 17, it says, by him all things consist, and literally that means are held together. The reason our bodies don't just fly apart into a billion pieces is because he's holding it, he's holding me, he's holding you together. Reading the passage back in Genesis 11 and verse 3, it struck me as ironic that man's marred and his city-building politics are held together by something else. It's called slime. As only the King James can do. Slimy politics. Slime was the glue that was holding man's politics together. Slime is the glue that holds up the tower. I can think of some towers that are held up by slime. Slimy politics. Slimy politicians. Now, certainly, what does this mean for us? It certainly means that we should have no such slimy preoccupation or slimy participation in man's city-building schemes. But nowhere is there a suggestion that we have no say or no sway. We must address them. Even as we proclaim Jesus Christ as the glue and the foundation of all good and godly politics. And so whatever else a non-political quote Christian or an apolitical quote Christian is doing, they are not being a faithful Christian. Because politics is inescapable. There will be city building. Are we going to build marred man's city, or are we going to build the perfect city of God? Christ Jesus is building a new city. And God is not shy about his politics. This new city building, he's not shy about it. Look no further than Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. Hey, this is a New Testament passage, but it talks about what God was doing really very, very early on. This is Abraham in Hebrews 11 and 10. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Even way back at Abraham's time, he knew that, yeah, okay, there was Babylon, there was Babel, there was the tower, there was a city. God ceased that, but that wasn't the end of city building. That wasn't the end of politics. God is continuing to build. That passage talked to us about the faith of Abraham. But a chapter further on, over in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about the culmination of this city. And the culmination of this city is in the person of Christ. You are come to Mount Zion, the holy city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And it's a passage here that talks about Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. But a big step along the way in this city building, in this new work, was Pentecost. Pentecost, as has been noted by many people, is likened unto a great reversal of Babylon. I know I've preached about that in Pentecosts gone by. That you have the Tower of Babel and you have the confusion of the languages, and then you have Pentecost, which is kind of the whole reversal of that by the gift of languages. A reversal of Babel. And so instead of a city ceasing to be built, and that's what happened in Babel, they left off building the city. They stopped. Instead of the city ceasing to be built, the city we're working on grows. More politics is needed. Instead of confusion and the inability to understand, there is clarity and understanding. The tongues of Pentecost brings the whole world together to build the new city, the city of God. Remember Genesis chapter 11 and verse 7. A part of what God did, and as the process, the route he took in terms of ceasing, getting them to stop, was causing them not to be able to understand each other. So that they may not understand. And that was putting a stop to the city of man. Pentecost is the gospel being heard, and Pentecost is the gospel being understood by all the people of the world. That's what it is. If we read Acts chapter 2 very carefully, we would see that from every nation under heaven, there were representatives abiding in Jerusalem for that feast. And when the apostles had the Spirit came down and the tongues of fire upon them, and they were spoken in those languages, that's what the Bible says. The gospel was going out to the whole world. There would be clarity. There would be understanding. How about our call to worship there from Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24? You know, it kind of says the same thing. You know what? Let not a mighty man rejoice in the fact that he's mighty. Let not a rich man rejoice in the fact that he is rich. But if you're going to glory about something, glory in this, that you know and understand me. And Pentecost brought that clarity and understanding that the peoples of the world could work together and build the city of God. What a wonderful step along that path of politics Pentecost was. Pentecost is the gift of the gospel going forth in all languages. Remember, Hebrew was the language of the people of God until the time of Pentecost. Pentecost is the gift of the gospel going forth in all languages so that people will know and understand God. Our gospel lesson kind of cited the same thing. You remember John in chapter 14, Philip is there, you know, we need more understanding. We need to see. We need you to show us the Father. We need you to reveal him to us more clearly. We needed clarity. Philip says, show us the Father in verse 8. Jesus says, Philip, Philip, how long have I been with you? You know, if you've seen me. So the displaying of Jesus is a displaying of clarity and understanding to the world about who God is. And the promise of Pentecost is more of that. In John in chapter 14 and verse 26, it says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, he's going to come, and by the way, you're going to see and remember more about me, Jesus speaking, which means you're going to understand with greater clarity and understanding who God is. It's the same thing. In John 15 and 26, but when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. You'll know more about me with greater clarity, with greater understanding, and therefore you'll know more about God and what he's doing in the world. In John chapter 16 and verses 14 and 15, he shall glorify me. You know, we should just stop there. What is it that's the major role of the Holy Spirit? So that we have power? Yeah, that's all there. So that we can have some sanctification? Yes, that's all there. Jesus is telling us, though, he shall glorify me. Bring greater clarity and understanding of who God is. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing there. He will take of mine and show it unto you. You know, the language of Babylon was as much about their profession, even their profession of faith, as it was about anything else. A study of the Hebrew word for lip, and you see that all the time in that passage, the idea that people had one lip. A study of the Hebrew word for lip means that very same thing, a profession of faith. And so if we take a look at Genesis 1:11 for example here, and this is from the ESV, a slightly different translation, but I like what they did with this here. Instead of saying the same lip, now the whole world, the whole earth, had one language and the same words. They were speaking the same thing. They were on the same page, we might say. The same words. The same page. Political correctness. At the time of the building of the city and the time of the building of the Tower of Babel, people were in lock step. They were in lock speech. All kind of doing the same thing. And all of it was about them making a name for themselves. So that we can be great and we won't be scattered, diminished, dismissed across the face of the earth. They had the same citywide profession of faith and same citywide worship. Much like the factions in our culture that are trying to get everybody on the same page. And you think about the pressure that's in our culture for people to have the same lip, use the same words. Think about the words. I think some of the radio program guys has lists of words that you can't say anymore. It's the same profession of faith. It's the same worship. It's the same lip. It's the same lockstep into humanism. And it's not a profession or a worship toward or for God. The politics of Pentecost works the other way. It's also about a lip. It's also about worship. It's also about a profession of faith. But it's toward and for our King, the Lord Jesus. As we understand and know Him through the gift of the gospel, going forth into all the nations and languages of the earth, which is what Pentecost was about, representatives from every nation under earth was there. As we understand and know Him through that gospel, going forth to all nations and all languages of the earth, a new city is being built. We had touched on this earlier from Revelation chapter 21. The word city, in just this one chapter, Revelation chapter 21, the word city, the word polis, politics, 24 times. In one chapter, 24 times. Maybe there's a clue for us there in verses 12 through 14, I don't know. There were 12 patriarchs, 12 tribes, with the 12 apostles, Old and New Testament brought together. The whole plan of God is there. Is that why 24 times the city is talked about? I don't know. Maybe it's that. Maybe the 24 is more about ours. The Old Testament closes with the prophecy in the book of Malachi, and he's talking about God the King, and he says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Around the clock, around the world, people would have one lip, one worship, one profession of faith that Jesus Christ is the King. That's what Pentecost is all about. Why polis, why city is mentioned 24 times in Revelation 21, I don't know for sure. But one thing is for sure. The politics of Pentecost is all about Jesus. We saw this in verses 1 and 2 from this same chapter, Revelation 21. And this passage here talks about Him as our husband. It's about Him. It's about Jesus Christ. Closing out those 24 references to the city, we find verse 23 of this chapter. And the city didn't need the sun anymore, didn't need the moon, didn't need it. The glory of God was there. And the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light of that city. Brothers and sisters, politics is inescapable. God and His servants have a say and have a sway in the culture, in the present, and in the future. God and His servants have a say and they have a sway in all that is being built. Some city projects ought to be abandoned. It happened right here, Genesis 11. A city project that was left. Some city projects ought to be abandoned. Other city projects ought to be embraced. But all of it is politics. The politics of Pentecost is letting go of the slime and the bricks. And taking up the gospel and being the bride of Christ. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing in the world. We thank you for you putting an end to certain city building projects. And we thank you for the glorious work of the city building that you are doing. We thank you for the great step along the way in sending your Spirit to give us one lip, even around the world, of clarity and of understanding, uniting all peoples, so that from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is praised. Father, we pray that you would help us to be willing participants and partners with you in this politics, in this city building. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.